If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. This morning we start a new sermon series. It is called Joshua Strong, and we'll be looking at the book of Joshua for the next few months. Not exactly chapter by chapter, some chapters we will combine. This morning we're going to look at chapter 1, and I would encourage you before next Sunday to read chapter 2, because we will be dealing with chapter 2 next Sunday. But I've entitled it Joshua Strong because of the verse on the banner there. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Particularly, be strong and courageous. God is with you. Be strong and courageous. God is with you. So we're going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. I would encourage you to keep your hand here. We'll be coming back to this passage. It is my text, and as we read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess what Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words, and all that you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Now, Father, I don't think it takes a lot of insight into this passage to see that there's a theme here. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. They had everything they needed. They just needed to be strong and courageous. They had the law of Moses. They had the word of God. They just needed to be strong and courageous. They had a new leader. They just needed to be strong and courageous. And he needed to be strong and courageous. So Lord, we want to be Joshua strong. I believe that the church in the United States is entering into unfamiliar territory. I truly believe that we're going to be facing a much different culture than we have enjoyed for a long time. Lord, we need to be strong and courageous. It's not time to retreat. It's not time to draw back in fear. But you go with us wherever we go into this new reality. You're going with us. May we be strong and courageous, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Someone has said that the purpose of the pinky toe is to know where the furniture is in the dark. Well, as Christians, we don't stumble around in the dark. We are in the light. We walk in the light. We know the light of the world. Yet we will admit that we are surrounded by darkness. Sometimes we cannot see that far in front of our face. We don't know exactly what lies ahead. But we do know that God goes with us. Even when we don't know what the ultimate or what the immediate future is, we do know our ultimate future. We do know that one day we will be conformed into his image and we will be with him in first glory and then our new heaven and new earth. Revelation tells us that and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. So we know that in the future for believers there will be no darkness. Now we'll say more about this final land later, but this series focuses on the present land. Or should I say landscape? I believe that the church in America is about to cross into unfamiliar territory, like the children of Israel as they stood on the far side of the Jordan, getting ready to cross into the promised land. They did not know what lay ahead. All they knew is that God was going to go with them. I'm convinced, and hopefully I'm wrong, and I would gladly be wrong. I'm convinced that as we see the traditional Christian understanding of sex and identity and even economics, we'll see these things cast aside. And a new worldview will impact our schools, our kids, our jobs, our churches, our communities, the whole fabric of life. So like the ancient Israelites, the people of God are crossing into uncharted territory. The question is, can we live victoriously in this new environment? Or do we draw back in fear? Can God be trusted when our livelihoods are threatened, when our speech is policed, first by social media, then our neighbors, and maybe even the actual police, which, by the way, we have seen increasingly in Canada and Great Britain. Neither of those countries have the First Amendment. They don't have a freedom of speech as we do, but I think we have cause to wonder how long we will have freedom of speech. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. God can be trusted when all else fails. Now, again, I will admit, perhaps I am unnecessarily worried, being dramatic in my old age. Maybe I'm just a crotchety old man. I will also confess that I have grandkids, and I'm worried about it. I'm worried about their future. Well, even if I am overly dramatic and none of this will happen, I believe the book of Joshua, what it teaches is still true. It is still true. I will also acknowledge that there are times when all we can do is put one foot in front of another. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. So as they're on the far side of Jordan, getting ready in 3 days to cross over, the promise is, as you take a step, I'll go with you. And you take another step, I'm still going with you. At every place your foot treads, I will go with you. Step by step. All you need to do is put one foot in front of another. We tread the path that God has laid out for us. And I think Joshua, the book of Joshua, shows us how. Particularly how to be Joshua strong. Look at verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses. Now, we cannot appreciate what a monumental event that was in the life of Israel. For 40 years he had been their leader. He had been the one in communication with God. He had led them through the wilderness. He was basically the voice of God to them. That's the only leader they knew. He brought them out of Egypt. He had defeated Pharaoh. He had done these, he'd done these amazing miracles, wonders and signs. And now he's dead. That had to be scary. That had to be frightening. They didn't know what it was going to be like now that Moses is gone. They didn't know what the future held. They didn't know exactly about this Joshua. Now, they knew Joshua. Look at verse 1. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying. So now, God now is speaking to Joshua. And here's his message. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. But notice, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and cross this Jordan. In other words, Moses is dead, but you're not. Get going. Moses is dead, but you are not. Get moving. Israel had its marching orders. I think the church has its marching orders. We are to be on the move. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, wherever you go, well, for the church, wherever we go is into all the world to preach the gospel. Right? That's where we go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's where we're going. And by the way, it says to preach the gospel to all the nations. Well, is the United States a nation? Yes, we're to go into the United States and preach the gospel. We're to go into other countries and preach. That's the church's orders, preach the gospel. As you put one foot in front of another, you take the gospel with you. Our world, our country, our community needs the gospel now more than ever. This is no time to retreat. People need to hear the truth. They need to see the truth. Now, if you had read chapter 1 before this morning, and I hope that you did, and I hope you'll read chapter 2 before next Sunday morning, you can't help but notice that the word land plays a major role here. In fact, I count 16 different geographical references or words like land and river and so on. So I want to make this clear. As we look at the book of Joshua, this is talking about a specific land. Okay, this is talking about the promised land. Over 500 years ago, God had promised Abraham this land. God promised Abraham and his descendants this land that they're talking about in chapter 1. God promised Isaac and Jacob this land. Canaan land, Hebrews 11 says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So God had made a promise to Abraham, to his descendants, that they would inherit the land, the promised land, Canaan, which we now think of as the land of Israel. That was the promise. And as you read this chapter and this book, we must keep in mind that there is a historical context. We have specific boundaries here, okay? Verse 2 mentions Jordan. So it's bounded on one side by Jordan. Verse 4, from the wilderness to this Lebanon. Now, that's not Lebanon, PA, by the way. I used to live in Ohio, also by Lebanon, Ohio, but this is not that. Even as far as the great river Euphrates, so you have Jordan, you have Euphrates, you have Lebanon, you have the Great Sea, the Mediterranean, toward the setting of the sun. All this will be your territory. So it's talking about a very specific geographical locale. I said that to say this, to make it clear. This is not America. He's not talking about America. Okay. I'm not going to pretend that we have some marching orders about conquering America. I don't know what the future holds. But I know that the promised land is not the United States. Okay, I want to make that clear. I think sometimes American Christians get confused about that. Okay. He's not talking about the United States. However, there are principles here that go with us. And we're going to talk about those. I have no idea if we're going to take back America. I have my doubts, but he's not talking about that. Now, here's what I want you to see. Moses was dead, but his words were still in effect. Okay, his words were still effective. Moses was dead, but they still had his word. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. So even though Moses was dead, he had left a scripture. He had left the five books of Moses, the law, the Pentateuch, as sometimes it's called. The point is that this wasn't Moses' word. This was the word of God that Moses had given. Therefore, it was still effective, and even though Moses was dead. Okay. Moses is dead, but God's promise lives on. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from the right or left, so that you may have success wherever you go. So, Moses is dead, but the promise lives on. Moses has died, but God hasn't. Now again, this is significant because Joshua is dead too. In our day and age, Joshua's dead, but the word of God is not. A major point of this book is that God's purposes do not change. God's promises do not change. People change. Moses was gone. In fact, the previous generation that came out of Egypt were all gone. If you're familiar with the story of the wilderness, and when they first came with the opportunity to go into Canaan, they retreated in fear, and God said, everyone of this generation will die before the next generation inherits the land. So Moses was dead, and all their forefathers were dead. But God's purposes, promises, principles are not dead. All right, so this is the Canaan land. This land is not, he's not talking about the United States, and he's not talking about heaven. I love the old hymns. I love Southern gospel music. But often you'll hear Canaan land as a description of heaven. Canaan land was not heaven. In fact, this whole book is about warfare. It's about having to live victoriously in the midst of the enemy. There's no warfare in heaven. I don't have to worry about living victoriously in heaven. I've been changed in the image of Christ. I'm in the very presence of God. So, I like the songs about Canaan land and all that, but they always equate Canaan land with heaven. This isn't talking about heaven either. This is about living life here in the here and now. This is about living life in the here and now. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. So God could still be good to us in the land in which we live, in spite of the difficulties, the battles, and so on. So these principles are true in all of life. Particularly the fact that many times all we can do is put one foot in front of another, right? Aside from Joshua and the conquering of the promised land, in much of life, we can only put one foot in front of another. When we get bad news from the doctor, right? We want to know the end. We want to know how it's going to work out. But all I can do is put one foot in front of the other. When you lose your job, when you don't get into the school that you wanted to get into, what are you going to do? You just put one foot in front of the other. When your family has problems, you put one foot in front of the other, believing these things. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So here are some things to know when the best you can do is put one foot in front of another. Now, we'll build on these things as we go through the book, but here's some things to remember when the best you can do is to put one foot in front of another. First of all, the presence of God goes with you. The presence of God goes with you. Verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is with you. Verse 17. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Because of this assurance that God goes with us into the dark, because of this assurance that God goes with us, as best we can do is put one foot in front of another, we can be strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Verse 18, you shall only be strong and courageous. In fact, as I was reading this, you almost wonder if Joshua needed to hear this because it didn't come natural. Now, you can read a lot about Joshua in Exodus and Deuteronomy, but you almost wonder if maybe he didn't have a tendency to be overly cautious. Maybe he struggled somewhat with fear. I mean, if I had to fill Moses' sandals, I'd probably be afraid too, right? He needed to hear this. But it doesn't say, well, Joshua, you just need to grit your teeth and screw up your courage. You just need to be a positive thinker. No, what you need to know, what you need to believe, is that God goes with us as we go. God goes with us as we go. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. When we heard it, our hearts melted and had no courage. Now, this is the story of Rahab. So these are not the Israelites talking. When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man. So again, the Israelites were to be strong and courageous. Those on the other side had no courage. It says, remain in any man any longer because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God of heaven and on earth beneath. So in other words, they knew that God was going with the Israelites. They knew that God was going with the Israelites. That gave the Israelites courage. In them, it melted their hearts. Verse 24. chapter 2, verse 24. They said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all this land into our hands. However, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. So they lacked courage because God wasn't with them. Chapter 3, verse 7. Then now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that I have, as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. So God goes with us as we go. As we take one step in front of another, when the best we can do is put one foot in front of another, we can do it with the assurance that God is walking with us. He goes with us. He goes with us. You say, well, that was Joshua. Well, let's look at the New Testament, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Again, so there's a New Testament application of this Old Testament truth that God goes with us. He won't desert us. He won't forsake us. He will be our helper. When we don't know the future, when we don't know what lies ahead, as the best we can do is put one foot in front of another, when we try to peer into the dark, we know this, he is going with us. His presence goes with you. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. The word of God goes with you. The word of God goes with you. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. What is the key to success in the Christian life? Is to listen to the word of God and do it. What is the key when we are going into the dark? To listen to the word of God and do it. When we the best we can just put one foot in front of another, what are we to do? We're to pay attention to the word of God. Now, all Joshua had was the law of Moses. Of course, we have the completed canon. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the promises of God as contained in Scripture. It goes before us. We can't see what's ahead, but the Word knows. God speaks today through the Scriptures. So therefore, we are to know God's Word. We are to know God's Word. Again, the lesson of Joshua, it was over 500 years ago that God promised this land. By all human understanding, that promise was a joke. I mean, it's been 500 years. They had no reason to expect that they would actually live in this land. But God's promises are true. Times change, people change, and God's promises do not change. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers. He made a promise, therefore it'll happen. Verse 3, every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. So what was Joshua and the people to do? They were to know God's word. They were to be careful to know God's word. Verse 7. Only be strong and courageous and be careful to do according to all the law Moses, my servant, commanded you. Be careful to do that. He wasn't, you know, again, he wasn't called upon to be spectacular or innovative. Just obey the word of God. I'm not spectacular. I'm not very innovative. But I can obey the word of God. And so can you. As we put one step in front of another, we take the word of God with us. We need to know what it says. But just knowing it isn't enough, of course. We're to talk about God's word. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, we understand, they had one copy of the law, okay? We're way before Gutenberg, we're way before a YouVersion Bible on your phone, all right? We all have the Bible, we all have copies of the Bible. I have multiple copies of the Bible. They had one copy, It was very precious, very valuable. How did they each line up to take a turn to read it? Of course not. Those who read it would speak it to the others. It needed to be in their mouth. They needed to talk about God's word. It's becoming more prevalent, I believe, in Western culture, the U.S., Canada, England, to say that religious freedom is to be practiced in the church, but that's it. It must be left there. Don't bring up the Bible at dinner or at work or at school or at the council meeting. But Christians don't have that option. The Word of God is to be in our mouth. We're to know God's Word. We're to talk about God's Word. We're to think about God's Word. Right? What does it say? Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." You're to chew on it. Morning and night. Meditate, think on it. Know it, memorize it, speak it, talk about it. But most importantly, we're to obey God's word. That's the most important. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Again, in our day, we have no excuse not to know the Bible. We have no excuse not to study it, not to hear it, but to obey it is a whole matter, is a whole different matter. Again, these are strong words here. These are commands. I mean, verse 7, 9, 10, 11, 13, 16, 18, all say command. "Have I not commanded you?" These are the commands of Moses. This is not optional. If we're going to head into the great unknown, if we're going to go into the territory that God wants us to go, we need to listen to the commands that he gives us. As we put one foot in front of another, we need to listen to the Word of God. We can't do it without the Word of God. So when the best you can do is put one foot in front of another, realize that the presence of God goes with you, the Word of God goes with you, and lastly, the people of God go with you. The people of God go with you. So the people respond to Joshua, "We'll go with you. You're not in this alone." I mean, Joshua couldn't invade Canaan by himself and defeat all the nations that occupied it. The people had to go as an army. Verse 14, "Your brothers in battle array." So notice at the end, verse 18, "Anyone who rebels against your command and doesn't obey your words that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." So here's the people now saying to Joshua, "You need to be strong and courageous." But the point is, all of them need to be strong and courageous. Being courageous is contagious. As we face who knows what lies ahead, we need God's people. We need the strength that comes with having other people of God. We have the Word, yes. We have God's presence, yes. But we need to know others are marching in battle with us. The church needs each other. We will not survive these battles that may be coming by ourselves. Now, I will admit, this does have something to say about human leadership. Okay, Moses was dead, but now there's Joshua. God gives us leaders. God gives his people leaders. God gives his church leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5. "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." One more thought here. The new territory was unknown to the children of Israel. None of them had ever seen it. It was totally unknown. Everyone who had heard the eyewitness account of the 12 spies was dead. Almost. There were still two alive, right? Caleb and Joshua. They had seen the land. They came back with a good report. The rest said, it's full of giants. We can't do this. We need to stay here. We cannot go out into that. It's too big. The job's too big. And Caleb and Joshua said, are you kidding? Let's go. So as they go into the land of Canaan, there was one person, two people, who had seen it before, and that was their leader, Joshua. He knew what lay ahead. He knew where they were going. All right, let me sum this up. What we need is not increasingly clever methods or increasingly clever people, but obedience informed by and motivated by the living and abiding Word of God. Let's pray. Father, again, I pray that I am worried about things that may never come to pass. I do know this. Over the years, when I'd get together with other pastors, we would talk about things that we knew were probably going to happen, but not in our lifetime. Well, Lord, all of them have happened in my lifetime. These cultural shifts, I've seen every one of them that we used to think, yeah, they're inevitable, but it'll be way down the road. Well, we are shocked by the speed at which we've seen these things, Lord, and I don't know what it will mean in the coming months, years for the church, for people of faith. But Lord, again, you know, and you go with us into this uncertain future. The Bible is our marching orders. And Lord, we need to go into this together. I think there's going to come a time when we'll need the support of each other in a lot of ways. So Lord, regardless of how this message would apply, Lord, all of us in our life, we don't know the future. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We just know that you go with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Be it through the valley of the shadow of death, be it through bad news from the doctor, be it through difficulties in our marriages, be it through issues at work. We pray that we would feel your presence. We pray that we would lean on your people. We pray that we would practice your word. We pray. Amen.